Hello and welcome to worship. I'm Pastor Jason, pastor here at Schweitzer, and I'm serving as our host in worship today. We are so glad that you've tuned in, that you're joining us for worship wherever you're at, whatever time you're joining us. We're so glad that you're here. Today, we're continuing our second week in the Way of Wisdom series. Pastor Spencer is going to be leading us as we talk about the pursuit of wisdom. If you're new, if this is your first time joining us, we're so glad you're here. We'd invite you to check in, let us know that you're here. We've got a digital gift card that we'd love to send to you for joining us in worship today. If you've been around here for a long time, we'd encourage you to take a look at the next step that you can take with us by going to sumc.co/next. You'll find lots of ways you can connect. Stephanie Hassey's here today, and she's going to let us know some ways that we can connect and take a next step this week through Schweitzer. Let's take a listen.
Hi, I'm Stephanie. Summer break is here, and that means it's time for VBS block parties. There are two ways that you can get involved. One is by registering your kids to attend a nearby block party. Second is by volunteering to host a party right in your own neighborhood. It's very easy, and our Schweitzer Kids team will give you everything that you need. You can find out more by looking at sumc.co/VBS. It's the perfect time of year to spruce up the Schweitzer campus, and our First Impression team is hosting a garden cleanup and cookout on June 21st at 5:30. Bring your gardening tools and join us outside. We'll have our cookout first and then work on cleaning up that garden and sprucing it up for the season. Find out more and sign up at sumc.co/next. Many groups and classes are returning to in-person gatherings, and with that come many new opportunities to serve. On Sunday mornings during both services, we also have a full hour of kids ministry and a youth Bible study at 10 a.m. If you have a heart for kids and want to volunteer once a month in this area, we would love to have you. Find out more about groups, classes, ways to be connected, and ways to serve by seeing sumc.co/next.
Thanks, Stephanie, for letting us know how we can connect. If you're worshiping with us live, we'd encourage you to use the chat window. If you'd like someone to pray with you, there's also a prayer window that you can click on, and somebody will be happy to talk with you in that space. Now we're going to continue in our worship with this song, Let's Continue to Worship.
I was lost in a moment, a glimmer in time. Like a child chasing shadows, my back to the light. I was lost in a fog till you caught my eye. Through the smoke in the mirrors, a glimmer of life. I know there's a place I belong, where I'll see the fullness of love. A child face to face with my God, lost in your awesome. While I wait, I will not be afraid. My faith will remain all the same. My hope in the things not yet seen, found in the greatest of these.
Love in a moment, explode. Okay.
As we come to a time of prayer, it's of note that we're in the season of Pentecost, where we celebrate the outpouring and the gift of the Spirit. We know that the Spirit brings us many things from the Lord. And today, as we come to a time of prayer, we'd like to use a prayer that comes from this book, Come Creator Spirit. And I invite you to join me in praying as the words appear on your screen. Spirit, dispenser of charisms or gifts to everyone, Spirit of wisdom and knowledge, who so loves us all. You fill the prophets, you perfect the apostles, you strengthen the martyrs, you inspire the teachers with teaching. To you, our Paraclete God, we send up our supplication along with this fragrant incense. We ask you to renew us with your holy gifts, to come down upon us as you come down on the apostles in the upper room. Pour out your charisms or gifts upon us. Fill us with knowledge of your teaching. Make us temples of your glory. Let us be overcome by the wine of your grace. Grant that we may live for you, be of one mind with you, and adore you. You, the pure, you, the holy, God, Spirit, Paraclete. Amen. Jesus teaches us to pray, and he continues to teach us as we together say the prayer that he taught his disciples when we say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, last week in our in-person worship, we had a baptism of a young girl by the name of Haley, and she's got a story to tell us, a witness to tell us, that we want to show you today.
When my sins are washed away, it's like a restart, really. I really get to become a new person. Yeah, thanks for baptizing me because that really makes me excited, and it's gonna be really fun.
We are so excited to see what God is up to in the lives of all kinds of people across the generations. And the Lord keeps making himself known and showing himself because we continue to be people who follow after him and seek after him. And we've been faithful in following with our gifts of time and with our gifts of resources. So thank you for your generosity. You can give as an act of worship today by going to somc.co/give or by using the Schweitzer app. Thanks for your generosity, and we keep anticipating God to move in our midst. Let's continue our worship.
Friends, welcome this morning. My name is Spencer, and I'm the pastor at Schweitzer. Today is part two of our series called The Way of Wisdom. We are spending June, July, and August exploring the idea of wisdom that we find in the Bible. We're going to really spend our time in two books of the Bible, Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, which teach the way of wisdom. Now, when I say that word wisdom, I want to be clear about what I mean and what I don't mean. Because biblical wisdom has nothing to do with like how smart you are. It has nothing to do with your grade point average or where you went to school or what books you've read. It doesn't really have anything to do with what podcast you've listened to or what you know. It has nothing to do with your success or your achievement or even how old you are, because sometimes we think we gain wisdom as we age. That's not how biblical wisdom really works at all. When we talk about wisdom in the Bible, we're talking about what do we do with what we know? Wisdom is a practical thought kind of thing. It's about action. So what do you do with what you know? A classic example of this is to say this. We all know that we should eat right and exercise, but the wise among us actually eat right and exercise. You actually do something with what you know, and that's biblical wisdom. James chapter 1 says it really well. James says this, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." And there should be like 6 exclamation points behind that, because the idea is don't just have knowledge. Don't just know about the word and what God wants for you. Actually live it. And this is the way of wisdom. And so today, part 2 of this series, we're going to explore the question of where wisdom comes from. How do you find wisdom? And along the way, we're going to wrestle with the question of self-destruction. Why is it that sometimes you see really successful, influential, people who've achieved a tremendous amount make these kinds of decisions where their life implodes and they destroy themselves, they wreck their life and the people around them? Where does that self-destruction come from? So we're going to wrestle with that question today. So Proverbs chapter 1, we're going to read quite a bit of scripture today as we're going to find this question of where wisdom comes from. So here we go. Proverbs chapter 1, starting in verse 20, here's what it says. "Out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech." Now, we're going to read a whole lot more, but I'm going to pause here and just make 2 observations that are helpful for what we're going to read today and really for the rest of the series as well. One of the first things I want you to notice is that when wisdom is talked about in the Bible, oftentimes wisdom is talked about as a person. It's personified. And you're going to see this really throughout Proverbs, that wisdom is personified. And it's personified as a woman. And so one of the ways that a lot of people will just talk about wisdom is they'll call wisdom, I love this, Lady Wisdom. And I just think that's awesome. Lady Wisdom. And so Lady Wisdom is out sharing this knowledge with the world about how to live. And so that's the first thing I want you to notice, is that it's this person who's crying out here. And that's the second thing, is that she's crying out. Lady Wisdom is on top of the building. She's in the public square. She's raising her voice. She's crying out. She's not in secret. She's not hiding somewhere. Like, it's evident and it's available to people, which makes the question of self-destruction even that much more perplexing, because it's like, if wisdom is right in front of you and you can see it all around and it's not hidden, like, how did you make that choice that you made? Like, it's that much more perplexing because wisdom is crying out in the public squares. Let's keep reading here. Verse 22. It says, "How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge?" So 3 types of people here: simple, the mockers, and fools. And as I said earlier, how wisdom doesn't have anything to do with where you went to school or what your grade point average is or what you've succeeded in or what you've achieved. In the same way, being a fool has nothing to do with those things either, because you can be incredibly successful and still be a fool, which is the story of self-destruction. So we keep reading here. Lady Wisdom is having this speech. "How long are you going to keep ignoring me?" And then she says, "Repent at my rebuke, and then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. But since you refuse to listen when I call, and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I, in turn, will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you." Then it says, "Then they," that is the fools, the simple, the mockers, "then they will call out to me, but I will not answer. I will not answer." And I think it's interesting that people will call out to wisdom after the destruction has happened, because they're like, oh my goodness, when these consequences are coming upon us, that's when I start to look for wisdom. But she's like, I'm not going to find you at that point. So it keeps going here. It says, they will look for me, but will not find me, since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. And catch that word there, choose. Their destruction was their own choice. They chose, that's why we call it self-destruction, is they brought this upon themselves. Goes on, says, since they, that is the fools, the mockers, the simple, they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat by the fruit of their ways. You reap what you sow, the Bible says in other places. And they'll be filled with the fruits of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. And so wisdom, Lady Wisdom, is out in the public square. She's out in the streets. She's crying aloud. It's almost like she's banging a drum, trying to get your attention that you might listen to her. And she's sharing this news. And yet there are some among us, the fools, the simple, the mockers, who will choose to ignore her teaching. And when they do, they will reap what they sow. Their own destruction will come back upon them, and they will experience the calamity, the destruction of their choices. And I just want you to notice this. The Lord is not punishing them for their choices. There's no like fire and brimstone that happens to them, but rather they are reaping what they sow. This is the question of self-destruction. How does this happen? I have this question that kind of bounces around my brain when I hear certain news stories, which I seem to hear more and more often. And so this question kind of surfaces more and more in my brain. And this question is not like a profound kind of question in any way whatsoever, but it's a question I find myself asking with more and more regularity. And the question is really just simply this: how'd that happen? How'd that happen? And you probably know the scenarios. I mean, high profile person, usually really successful, someone who's achieved a tremendous amount, someone who has all kinds of influence and seems to have a life that is all together, high-profile person, makes a really terrible choice, sinful choice, wrecks their life and the people around them. It's a common story, and I'm sure I don't need to name names because there are people that you can think of who fit that description of high-profile person, has it all together, has everything that they ever wanted, and yet they choose this path of destruction. And it happens all the time. So I find myself asking this question, like, how'd that happen? Like, where did that come from that this is the choice that they ended up making? Recently, I was talking to a really good friend of mine who is also a pastor, and we've been kind of together. We came up together in ministry. We've been doing this about the same amount of time, and we read a lot of the same books, and we listen to a lot of the same people. We've been influenced by a lot of the same people. We've come along, and I was talking to him recently, and he just kind of said, kind of dejected a little bit, but he just said, you know what? I have like very few like pastors I look up to anymore. I have very few ministry leaders that I like look up to anymore because they've chosen this path of self-destruction. So many people have done it. And it's true for like pastors, it's true for actors and musicians and athletes and certainly politicians. Like it's true in every field where a high profile person seems to have it all together and yet makes these choices where things just fall apart and they wreck their life and you're left wondering like how'd that happen? It makes me think of what the great Eugene Peterson, he used to say this. He used to say, if you succeed in your work and yet fail at home, you still fail. And I think that's such a great line because it's like, there's sometimes you might be really successful in one area of your life, but there's all these other areas that get out of order and pretty soon these destructions come upon you and you're left wondering like, how did that happen? Where does this come from? This is the question of self-destruction. How is it that seemingly smart people, people who have achieved and succeeded and they've made it and they're the people everyone else looks up to, how in the world can they be so foolish as to make the kinds of choices where life falls apart? They end up hurting themselves and hurt other people around them. Like where did that road come from that they found themselves there? It's the question of self-destruction. And this question of self-destruction is, it's helpful to think about it through the lens of wisdom. Because Lady Wisdom has been crying out. She's been calling out in the streets and been offering the way to live and the way to live a good life. And yet there are some of us who, even though we're smart and even though we've achieved and even though we've accomplished a tremendous amount, we still choose to go our own way. And surprise, surprise, when you choose to go your own way, it leads to destruction. This reminds me of the story in the Bible of the Pharaoh. Remember the Pharaoh and the story of Exodus where the Pharaoh is the king of Egypt, most powerful king over the most powerful nation. So he has everything that he wants, wealth, fame, glory, you name it, he has it. Again, think high profile person, has everything, seemingly very smart, has it all together, and then has destruction. Like this is his story. And so in the story of Exodus, the Pharaoh, who has all of the power, one day in his court, an outcast fugitive named Moses shows up. And Moses comes to the Pharaoh and he confronts him and he says that God has sent him and that the Pharaoh is supposed to let the Israelites go, let my people go. And do you remember what Pharaoh said to Moses? He said, nah, I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna do that at all. In fact, this is actually what it said, Exodus chapter 7. This is how the Pharaoh responds to Moses when he comes. He says this, yet Pharaoh's heart became hard, and he would not listen to them, just as the Lord had said. He's like, nah, I'm not gonna do this. And the idea there is that Pharaoh's heart was hard. That's such an important phrase there. Pharaoh's heart was hard. And so Moses comes back to Pharaoh several times, and keeps asking him and telling him that the Lord has sent him, that the people of Israel are supposed to be freed from slavery. They've been slaves for 400 years, and the Pharaoh is supposed to let them go so they can go and be free. This is what the Lord has called. And Pharaoh just keeps saying, nah, I'm not going to do that. And every time he has this choice, you read about his heart being hard. And so every time he makes this choice, well, what the Lord does is the Lord will remind Pharaoh of how powerful he is. And so along come 10 plagues. And every time one of the plagues come, Pharaoh is reminded that God is more powerful than Pharaoh, more powerful than the Egyptian gods, that Pharaoh should listen to him. And yet over and over and over again, Pharaoh is like, nah, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that at all. And so 10 times Pharaoh is reminded of this. And throughout those 10 plagues in the story of Exodus, we read this line about Pharaoh's heart being hard. Listen to this. 19 times. 10 plagues, 19 times we read about Pharaoh's heart being hard. Like, this is one stubborn guy. His heart is hard. And what's really fascinating about this is that out of these 19 times, the first six times, it just simply says that Pharaoh either hardened his own heart or his heart was hard. And then something switches after the sixth time. And the next 13 times, the Bible says that the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. It's almost as if the Lord is like, here's this choice that you can listen to my words, you can listen to what I'm calling you to do, or you don't have to. But if you don't have to, I'm gonna give you what you want. I'm gonna allow your heart to be hard. Like, I'm gonna give you what you want. And ultimately, of course, this leads to Pharaoh's destruction, where his heart will be so hard that when the Lord parts the Red Sea, he's gonna lead his army into the Red Sea after them, and where he will be drowned. It's the story of self-destruction. Like, why is it that sometimes successful, achievement-driven people who are smart and have it all together, they choose self-destruction? This is the story of the Proverbs, the story of Lady Wisdom calling out to us to listen to her. But even as she calls out to us so often, we just choose to say, you know, I'm not going to listen to that. I'm gonna go my own way. I'm going to do it how I want to do it. And when that happens, God's like, you know what? You can go. You can do this, but you're going to reap what you sow. I'm reminded of what Paul writes in Romans chapter 1. This is kind of a lengthy reading, but I think it's so helpful as you think about this question of self-destruction. And so I want to read through this with you and just listen to what Paul writes here. He says this, verse 18. It says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Let me say all that differently. The wrath of God is being revealed, is coming, because we have decided to exchange what God says, God's truth, for our truth. We have decided that we will do what we want to do instead of what God has told us to do. We've exchanged his truth for our truth. And so now the wrath of God is being revealed. I know that word, this phrase, wrath of God, like, you start to think about some of the people on TV who talk about how every tornado or earthquake or hurricane is the wrath of God that's coming. But that's not really what we're talking about here. That's not going to be what you see. That's not how the wrath of God is revealed. Instead, I want you to pay attention to how does the wrath of God come upon folks, because it's going to sound a lot like Pharaoh, where God allows folks to go in their own path, which leads to destruction. So the wrath of God is coming because we've exchanged God's truth for our truth. We keep reading here. It says this, because since what may be known about God, and listen to these phrases here, is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been, listen, clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Lady Wisdom raises her voice in the public square. She calls out in the street. She cries aloud. Like, God has not hidden his paths from us. He's not hidden his ways from us. This is what he's offered to us. It's evident and it's around us and it's available to us. We keep reading here, verse 21. It says, for although they, that is like all of humanity, we're included. It's not just like the bad people. It's all of humanity. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. That's the language of Proverbs, by the way. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Humanity, we have traded what God has told us, God's truth, for our truth and what we want to do. And this is the path that humanity has taken, that the creator of the universe has made his ways plain to us. And yet we chose to go our own way, to exchange his truth for our truth, which is just an absurd statement. I mean, absolutely absurd. I mean, think about this for just a moment. The creator of all things loves you and loves you enough that he wants to show you how to live, because he should know a thing or two about how to live. He made everything. And so he creates all things and he's created a design for humanity and how we should live. And he's given us this in plain truth. He's revealed it to us through his word, through the church, through one another. He's given us this truth that's before us. And he's offered us this teaching about what life is like and how to live a full life and an abundant life and how to live a life that is full of satisfaction and joy and peace. And he has this available to all of us and he gives it to us in plain truth and he offers this to us and we look at him and we're like, nah, I'm good. I'm gonna do my own thing over here. I think you're wrong, and I want to do my thing here and not your thing. And that it's like absolutely absurd that we would say to the creator of all things that I think we know more than you. I think we know better than you. And I don't think we need to listen to you because we can do our own thing over here. And this is really what I want to do. And this exchanging God's truth for our truth, friends, it happens all the time. One of the most staggering conversations I've ever had as a pastor happened several years ago. I had a request by someone in our church to meet with them about, I didn't know what it was going to be, but this was like a one of those people I just think the world of kind of people. Like, they're super successful, really, really influential, like a leader of leaders. This person is somebody that I just really, really respect and want to be around, the kind of person you want to be when you grow up kind of person, you know, who those kinds of folks are. And this is a person who was a leader in our church and someone who like knew the Bible and somebody I just really looked up to, really engaging in all kinds of ways. I just really thought the world of this person. We sat down and we started to talk, and this person went on to tell me about why his extramarital affair was a good thing. And I listened to him, and I just couldn't even understand the words that I was hearing. And I just had to be like, well, hold on, what now? What are you saying? Your extramarital affair is a good thing. Like, how did you come to convince yourself of this? You know the word, you know what God says, you know what God expects of you, you know what the path to life is, and yet you've chosen this other path because you've convinced yourself that's the way to go. Like, it happens all the time. God has given us a path, he's given us a teaching, he's given us how to live our lives, and instead of listening to this and with the humility of accepting what he has for us, we're like, nah, I'm gonna do my own thing over here because that's what I want to do, and I think it's right. And when we make that choice, it comes with all kinds of consequences. For instance, some of us are in out of control debt because we decided that God's ways of like generosity and contentment, those weren't the ways to live into. Instead, we chose spending and accumulation. Some of us have addictions to things like porn because we chose shortcuts instead of the path towards holiness and sexual purity. Some of us have like crippling fear to what other people think about us because we've decided to base our identity not in what the Lord says about us, but in what society has said about us. Some of us have left like all kinds of people in our wake, and people don't want to be around us anymore because we've chosen to live into our temper instead of living in peace, or we've chosen vengeance instead of forgiveness, or we live in deception and we gossip about other people, which is not the way that the Lord has called us to live. And in all these kinds of ways, there's consequences. There are consequences that come when we don't live into what God has for us. There's all kinds of things that happen. And this is the story of, you see, with the Pharaoh, it's the story of what God does here. He's like, this is how you want to live? Go ahead and live in this way, but you should know there's consequences. There's consequences to living in this way. And so let's go back to Romans 1. I want to finish this thought because there's consequences to this. So picking this back up in verse 24, says, therefore, because we've traded God's truth for our own truth, therefore, says God gave them, that is all of us, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts. I want you to pay attention to how often we hear that phrase, God gave them over. God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual immorality, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. Like we're reaping what we sow. We just bring this about upon ourselves. Verse 26, because of this, God gave them, there it is again, gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations with unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for the error. Keep reading here. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, because we knew better, so we didn't have to listen to God's truth. So God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they do not do what they ought to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do those very things, but also approve of those who practice them. We have exchanged God's truth for our own truth. And when we have done that, when we've decided to go our own way, there's all kinds of consequences that God has allowed to happen, that He gave them over to us. This is the story of self-destruction. It's the story that we see in the Pharaoh. It's the story of any time that we decide that we're going to go our own path away from what the Lord teaches us. There are consequences that come, and that the Lord will allow these things to come into our life. And all the while, Lady Wisdom is in the public square. She's raising her voice. She's crying aloud. She's trying to get our attention. She's banging on the drums. The pots and the pans are out. She's trying to listen, get us to listen, to say there is another way. You don't have to go down the path of destruction. And so this question that emerges every once in a while when I see high-profile people make terrible decisions that wreck their life, I start to ask myself, like, how'd that happen? But then another question starts to emerge in my brain as well. Again, not very profound, but I start to ask myself a deeper question, because I start to ask myself the question of like, you know, what was the first step? What was the first step that led somebody away down this path where they thought what they were doing was right, even though it was clearly wrong? Like, what was the first step that led down that path? Because I want to stay as far away from that as I possibly can, because I have to realize that those tendencies towards self-destruction are also within me, and they're also within you. Because there's all kinds of ways that I'm going to try to exchange God's truth for my truth and start to live what I want to happen instead of what God wants to happen. And so when I hear these stories of high-profile people who choose just awful decisions, I start to ask myself, are there questions, are there places, are there relationships, are there decisions and choices where I have been ignoring the call of Lady Wisdom? Are there relationships that are out of order? Are there choices that I've been making that don't honor the Lord? Are there people that I've been mistreating? Are there places of forgiveness that I need to open myself up to? Are there ways that I have been disobedient to the clear teaching of what the Lord wants for me? Because it's not enough that I would know the Bible. It's that I would actually live it. Because that is the way of wisdom. Let's pray together. And so, Father, today we hear the call of Lady Wisdom, the warning of wisdom to come and to listen, to hear what you have to say to us. And we do confess that we often go our own way. We choose the way of self-sufficiency, the way of worry, anxiety, the way that feels good to us, the way that makes sense to us, when all the while you are calling us to, to learn and to live and to follow you. So I want to pray today for anyone with us who maybe has very specific things that are coming up in their minds right now, ways that they have been living their own truth instead of your truth. Maybe it's a specific relationship that's out of order, a decision that they've been making. Maybe it's a secret that they've been harboring, an addiction that they have that no one knows about. All kinds of ways, Lord, that we have set aside what you have for us and we decided to go our own path. We recognize that this is the way of destruction. And instead, we find that there is grace and there is mercy within you. And that you love us and you've called us and you want for us the path of wisdom, the path of a full life, the path of a good life. And so, Father, would you help us to grow in wisdom, not just that we know the word, but that we do what it says, because this is the path of wisdom. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray today. Amen.
Thanks for joining us in worship today. We hope you've been encouraged. We hope you've learned something new. We hope that the Lord is speaking in your life some fresh words so that you're drawn closer to Him and that there's some encouragement for the people in your life, the people around you. If you know somebody that would be blessed by this worship experience today, we'd invite you to share it with them. We're so glad that you've joined us. We're also thankful for the people that helped make this worship experience possible. For Stephanie and for the people at Led in Worship, for Spencer for that sermon, for the people behind the scenes who make all of this happen, we're really grateful that we can be together in this way. We look forward to seeing you next week as we'll have week number 3 in the series on wisdom. It's gonna be fantastic. So come back next week and join us. Have a great week. Walk faithfully with the Lord, and the Lord is faithful to us. Go in peace. Amen.